Hello and welcome to episode number 16 of Nerds Talk Movies, the NerdStash.com's podcast for all things movies and TV. I'm your host, Johnny Reynolds, and joining me, as always, is the uncanny Taylor Cole. Taylor, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty good, man. I am ready to get into some Marvel news, because that's kind of our entire show.
Yep. That is exactly why I gave you a Marvel title, too, because we are pretty much only going to be talking about Marvel news. There's a lot of stuff to go over. But before we get into all that Marvel talk, let me go over the standard housekeeping. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Nerdstash Show. Please join our Discord community at the Nerdstash Community. And please check out the site, thenerdstash.com, where daily nerdy news, reviews, and opinion pieces go up from wonderful writers every single day. Also, if you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform of your choice, because we are basically on all of them. And if you haven't listened to the latest episode of the Nerdstash Show, our video game podcast, please do. We recorded right after last week's PS5 event, and you can hear our thoughts on the reveals. Really great discussion, and you can also hear someone frantically trying to pre-order a PS5 live. Yeah. It was a good time. Go check it out.
Honestly, yeah. There's a few episodes of both of these podcasts that I come out and say are my favorite. The Umbrella Academy Season 2, or The Boys Season 2 Spoiler Talk on Episodes 1 to 3. Those are all awesome to me. The Sony one's up there, too. I thought that was one of our best shows, to be honest. I thought we did a very good job of being a little entertaining, and that pre-order thing was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I loved that. And just listening to it again, it was great. With all that out of the way, let's get on with the show. First, we're going to talk about what we've been watching this past week. Taylor, why don't you kick us off?
So, I've been watching The Boys Season 2, episode number 5. If you're a first-time listener to this show, we did a spoiler talk for episodes 1 to 3. We'll do a spoiler talk when the show's over. I'm going to keep explaining this probably every week, just in case. But... this episode was really good. Like, I know I just go, what the hell happened after every episode? But I think they do such a good job at, like, commentating on the way our society is sometimes and stuff that's going on. And season one did it very well. I think they're doing it much better this season. And it's just so interesting to see the way that Stormfront uses social media and all these things, and it kind of attributes back to, just memes on Facebook, and that's how things are true. It doesn't matter if they're actually true. I don't know. I just found that very interesting to me. I've also... I also rewatched some things on the side while I work on projects. I finished watching Jericho. I loved it. Really hope an AMC or a Netflix can pick this show up, and let's do a reboot. And I've also been watching Dragon Ball Z Abridged again, from Team 4 Star. The first few episodes aren't as good, but man, this show is so funny. I love it so much. It's honestly up there with Dragon Ball Z, period, for me. Might be better, to be honest.
High praise.
So they handle characters in a way that's... They kind of stay true to themselves, but they're just so outlandish. Like, for example, Goku, who in the Dragon Ball Z, I remember, he loved fighting. That was a characteristic of him. But in Team 4 Star's version, he kind of has like this fetish for it. And I don't know why, it just fits the character so well. And Cell also has that same fetish. So when they're fighting, it's a very nice little dynamic.
Nice. I also watched the latest episode of The Boys Season 2, and I gotta say, I am really loving Stormfront a lot. I love a good villain, and she is just so slimy and hateful and conniving and just, like, playing everyone, and I love to see it. I think she's a really, really strong addition to the show.
Did you see that the Starbucks cup, when she's holding it, I think she's talking to A-Train in a scene, and it says, Stormfront?
No, I didn't notice that. That's a clever joke. No, I didn't see that. But yeah, really, really good episode. Very strange ending, but I feel like that is par for the course with this show.
It ruined Dream other on big thing, for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other big thing that I've been watching is Woke, which is this new Hulu series that just started, and it is created by, or co-created by, and like based off of life events of Keith Knight, who's a black cartoonist. And basically, this is the story of him when he was like on the verge of mainstream success. I don't know how, you know, I hadn't heard of this cartoonist before I watched the show, so I don't know how true to the actual stories the show is. But basically, follows Keith Knight, and he sort of prides himself on like keeping his material light, not really taking any controversial stances for anything like that. But then he gets racially profiled and attacked by a policeman, and that sort of traumatizes him and like sort of sends his life and his career spiraling out of control. And he starts to see it sounds like a very serious show, but it's actually a comedy. It's just a dark comedy. And he just becomes more sensitive and aware of like all of these world problems around him, and sort of his mainstream success sort of like blows up in his face, but it's like the right path for him as a person. And the comedic thing is that he starts hearing inanimate objects talk to him, but they have like cartoon faces, like big googly eyes and a big smile on, and they're like talking to him, but of course he's the only one that can hear it. Really, really interesting, really topical too. Yeah, really great. The first season is only 8 episodes, and that's all there is so far. So if you're looking for something new and quick and relevant, I would recommend watching Woke. It's actually really good.
Is it a little like, what was that show? Like Wilford? Or I believe it was...
Oh, with the dog?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Elijah Wood and the dog?
Yeah, Elijah Wood plays a guy who seems to be going on like a mental breakdown, and he sees this dude playing a dog, and everybody else just sees the dog.
Yeah, not to that extreme, okay. Though. Like the whole show isn't based off of, around that one
okay.
thing.
That's what I was curious.
It's just it's just a side effect from his traumatic event.
Yeah.
It happens more early in the show than it does later. Later, he just sort of starts to, you know, go through all of these different life situations more cynically than he would have before, and it's because of this one event has like made his life spiral completely out of control. Again, I know it sounds really dark, and it does have dark themes, but it's actually a really funny show.
I saw it on Hulu. I might have to check it out. I was on their featured page too. So,
yep, that's what grabbed me first, and I was like, hey, that's Lamorne Morris. He was on New Girl. It also has one of the guys from Workaholics on it too. So yeah, just a really funny show. But anyway, let's move on to our story of the week, or at least a puzzle piece to the overall Marvel news. First big one being that Marvel has found its She-Hulk. So according to Deadline, Orphan Black's Tatiana Maslany has been cast as the title character in Marvel's upcoming She-Hulk series. This comes days after news that Kat Coiro, who's directed episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Shameless, will direct multiple episodes, including the pilot. So here's a character description for She-Hulk via the Deadline report. She-Hulk is Jennifer Walters, an attorney and cousin of Bruce Banner, aka the Hulk. An emergency blood transfusion from her cousin gives Walters her powers, but unlike Banner Hulk, She-Hulk was able to keep her intelligence and personality when she hulked out. So we saw an Endgame where Hulk, you know, really had to work hard. You know, we've seen that arc over the last, like, few movies with him, where he had to work really hard to, you know, be civilized in his Hulk form. Jennifer Walters never had to really deal with that. But, Taylor, have you ever watched Orphan Black? Are you excited for this casting?
I have not, but I've heard so many people talk about this actress as, like, she is the reason to watch the show.
Oh, man.
Because doesn't she play multiple characters in it? I'm not very familiar with it, so
gotcha.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I didn't watch all of it. I watched, like, the first 3 seasons as it was airing, and I just never got around to finishing it. But, yes, she is an incredible actress. So she plays a woman who finds out that she has clones, or that she is a clone. You're not really sure who the original is, but there are all these different clones that she finds out about that look exactly like her. So she plays multiple parts, which is interesting because like one of them's like a crazy assassin and the other one's just like a soccer mom and, you know, things like that. And the main character, she's like a sort of scrappy thief. Like a ragamuffin. But she, it's really interesting because they're all from like different parts of the world too. So they have different accents and things like that. So her performance for every single character is completely unique. So yeah, I think this is excellent casting. She won an Emmy for Orphan Black, so she's very, very talented. She's on Perry Mason right now on HBO, which I haven't watched, but I hear good things about. So yeah, I think this is an excellent choice. And it's also just really big news because it's the first main casting of the Disney Plus shows of characters that have not been...
Yeah, I was going to say...
That have not been introduced yet. Yeah, that have not been introduced to the MCU yet. You know, we're getting... You know, WandaVision, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. We're also getting Loki and, you know, the Winter Soldier show. So those are all characters that we've seen before that are just being spun off into TV series. This is the first casting for one of the newer heroes. So this is big news, and I'm very, very excited for it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have not seen this actress in much, but I didn't know about that, kind of like everybody saying, yeah, she's really good. And the character of She-Hulk, I think, can really work in the MCU, especially now that Banner Hulk is what he is in MCU. I'm curious to see if Mark Ruffalo is going to be involved, and if so, how much. But I know a lot of people are also saying, like, Alison Brie. I'm kind of surprised that one didn't work out, but this might have been just as good, if not better, of a casting, depending on what everybody said about her. Maslany, that is.
Yeah. I think Mark Ruffalo is supposed to appear in the She-Hulk series, if I'm not misremembering that. So that'll be nice, because you know how Universal still owns, like, the distribution rights for Hulk. That's why they've never done another solo Hulk movie, but they've had to have, like, his different arcs in Thor and Avengers. So they've, you know, worked around that. So it'll be interesting if there are some things that they still, like, wanted to do, like, on a smaller scale with him that they'll be able to do through this show.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, because I think some of the criticisms of the Hulk, like, oh, he got turned into a comedic character, and they brushed past the fact that he had to, like, he got to be the Hulk and Banner at the same time. I'm not really trying to give Marvel a pass here, but since, you know, they can't really make a movie with him in it alone, there's not much for him to do. So I think you can give some of those storylines and go into She-Hulk's own storylines that she has. And you can have something really good here. I really do think that.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially with this kind of caliber of actress.
Marvel has the full rights to She-Hulk, right? I would assume
they have the full rights to She-Hulk. They can do pretty much whatever they want, unless one of her storylines, you know, has anything to do with Spider-Man. Then that's pretty much the only thing they have to steer clear of. But I think they'll be fine on this front.
All right, you ready to go into the next one? Because we got like 10 more Marvel stories.
Yeah, we've got so many Marvel stories. So let's move on. Another big bit of casting news: Jonathan Majors reportedly cast as Kang the Conqueror in the MCU. So this comes per Deadline. Jonathan Majors, who's known for Lovecraft Country and Da 5 Bloods, will reportedly make his debut as Kang in Ant-Man 3. Typically, Kang is a time traveler with heavy ties to Reed Richards, aka Mr. Fantastic. Kang also has ties to the Young Avengers. Many online have speculated that Ant-Man 3 could be setting up the Young Avengers in some way, since many of the team's members are already in or are being set up in the MCU, such as Cassie Lang, which is Ant-Man's daughter, or Kate Bishop, who's the second Hawkeye, who is going to appear in that Disney Plus show. So, I've never seen Jonathan Majors in anything. I haven't watched Lovecraft Country or Da 5 Bloods yet. I hear incredible things about Lovecraft Country, so I want to get to that, definitely. Taylor, do you think this is a good casting call? Have you seen either of these things that he's been in?
I have not, but I really like at least the character that he's going to play.
Of Kang?
Yeah, because it's so out there of a character that I think Marvel could just nail and make him a household name. Because that's kind of what they've done at times. Again, Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, here. And Ant-Man 3, kind of like after Ant-Man 2, a lot of people saw it as like a filler until we got to Endgame. Same thing with Captain Marvel. Like, come on, we don't want to see these things. Let's get to Endgame. This kind of shot some life into that movie for me. To where I was like, okay, Ant-Man and the Wasp, whatever. Let's see a sequel, I guess. And now I'm like, nah, let's do Young Avengers. Let's see this. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't know a whole lot about Kang the Conqueror. I've read a couple of comics with him in it, but I've never, like, delved into his backstory of him being a time traveler. And I was looking him up a little bit after this news broke, and he is a... They could go so many different ways with him, which is what's so exciting. Like, when Thanos was coming in, you know they're going to do the Infinity Gauntlet saga. Kang the Conqueror, there are so many different versions of him. He himself comes from a different universe. It's all kind of complicated, but it means that the road could go in so many different directions. It's weird that someone who is like as big a villain as Kang the Conqueror is going to be appearing in Ant-Man 3 first, but it could just be a tease. Like, we don't know, you know, how big of a role it'll play. But we'll just have to see.
Do you think this will be the introduction to the Young Avengers, or what do you want to see?
I think
that?
It could. I think it could be, and I would like to see that. I just love Kate Bishop a lot. I think she's the better Hawkeye, in my opinion, just off of comics that I've read. And I don't love Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye to begin with. He's just not that interesting. But yeah, I am excited for Young Avengers, and I think that this could be setting it up since he has ties to them, and we already definitely have one Young Avenger. She appeared in Endgame. Well, I mean, she's Scott Lang's daughter, so she's appeared a couple of times. She's appeared in the Ant-Man movies, but an older version of her is what I mean to say is in Endgame. So I could see that definitely possibility, because I would think that Marvel would want to stay away from any kind of Avengers group for a while after Endgame, you know, give that lots of room to breathe.
I think that's what you might see as well. I think that's another reason why you might see Young Avengers and hear Doctor Strange is said to be like a bunch of Marvel characters. I think right now what Marvel is kind of doing for like Phase 4 and 5 is like, we'll do a few crossovers, but we're not having an Avengers movie for probably until we get the X-Men in here.
I feel like this, like Cassie Lang and Kate Bishop, these are like an acorn right now, and Marvel is definitely going to give that time to grow and progress in a more natural way. So these will just be like sprinkles here and there, but I think later down the road, in Phase 5 maybe, we'll see sort of those characters start to cross and come together.
I will say this, by the time we get a trailer for Ant-Man 3 and we probably see Jonathan Majors, it'll probably make me go watch Lovecraft Country, because everybody says show is amazing.
Everyone has said only good things about it. So, I mean, it's only about 4 episodes in, so it'd be really easy to catch up on right now. So I'll probably get along to it. Any other thoughts? You want to move on?
Let's move on. We're still not even halfway through. We got a bunch of Marvel stories I can't get over.
All right. All right, so next bit, not confirmed, but possibly Black Widow getting pushed back again. So a recent report from Variety claims that Disney will likely delay Black Widow again. Here's a quote from the Variety report. Disney will likely delay Black Widow, the superhero adventure from Marvel that was slated to open on November 6th, according to multiple individuals with knowledge of the situation. The studio is also exploring various release options for Pixar's existential cartoon Soul. The animated kids film is scheduled to release on November 20th, but it is unlikely to move forward with those plans. The studio is even considering releasing it on Disney+. So it seems like Soul could be heading to Disney+, but, Taylor, the question is, what is going to happen with Black Widow?
I'm very conflicted about this. Because I want to see it on Disney+, so, you know, I could see it from the comfort of my own home. But this is a movie I think should be in theaters. Especially considering, to me at least, they should have made this movie 5 years ago.
Oh yeah, they definitely should have.
Instead of, you know, after her arc kind of wraps up an Endgame. So it's kind of just a very poor timing kind of deal with Black Widow to me. It looks very good. I want to see it, but the way theaters are, I can't blame any studio for like delaying anything. You saw how Tenet went. And people were saying Tenet does perform well considering, but the movie had such a high budget, you can't help but be a little deflated.
Yeah, no, you can't. And I think, I'm not surprised if this is true. And I think that I'm of the personal belief that all movies for the rest of the year should just be delayed indefinitely in US, just until we get everything sorted. Because this whole pushing things back and giving it a new date, and then, you know, not being able to make that date, and then pushing it back again and giving it another date, and that just gives, like, that just gives false hope to fans that want to go see it.
Well, not only that, like, so, go one step farther, and if somebody just wants to be like, well, Johnny, you're being too harsh here, like, people can go see a movie. No, it's not even that. People aren't going to see movies. We've had a few of them.
Yeah, people aren't.
Out.
Yeah.
Like, look at Tenet, look at New Mutants. These movies haven't performed well.
Yeah. And New Mutants, you can chalk up to a lot of things, but Tenet...
Yeah, that one
in a normal year, yeah, and in a normal year, Tenet would have
it would have crushed it.
Like, done incredible box office numbers, yeah.
A Christopher Nolan movie, it sells. Just with his name attached. You can say that it wasn't marketed as well as other ones. No, that Christopher Nolan name was there. It would have made some money any other year.
Definitely. And, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with Black Widow. That is one of the movies that I feel like I have to see in a theater. I see all the MCU movies in theaters. So I would be willing to wait for this. I don't know how many others are of that mindset, if they would prefer to go to Disney Plus. If it was only a Disney Plus thing, then, you know, that's how I would have to watch it. But if it was Disney Plus and then, like, you know, waiting to see when it could be put into theaters, I would wait. But, you know, who's to say what's going to happen?
What other thing is with Mulan and Disney Plus, that kind of didn't do too well for them. So it's a very confusing situation over at Disney of what they're going to do with this movie. And this is all speculation. As of now, it's still projected to come out when it's supposed to come out.
True, yeah. It's supposed to come out November 6th. But I don't see that happening. With the way that everything has been performing at the box office due to COVID, I don't think Disney would do that.
And one last thing, plus you got to look at the last Marvel movies that have come out. They've all hit over a billion. To go from, I want to say, what was the, they went on a stretch. I think it started with Black Panther. And ever since then, every movie has just grossed over a billion. It's insane. So to go from that and then put a movie out in late 2020 and kind of perform, I'm guessing it would perform a little bit better or the same as Tenet, that's still, it's good considering coronavirus, but it's still, when you look at what it could have made, that's not worth putting out. That's just not.
No, it's not. But yeah, like I said, I think they should just delay movies indefinitely, just till the U.S. gets a better handle on everything, which, you know, who knows when that's going to happen. But let's move on from our movie news to our TV news. I am very excited about this first piece, but it's that Marvel has found some directors for the Ms. Marvel Disney Plus series. So according to The Direct and The Hollywood Reporter, Adil El Arbi and Bilal Falal, who directed Bad Boys for Life, Sharmeen Obaid Chinois, who has directed several documentary projects and has won 2 Oscars, and Mira Manan, who has directed lots of TV episodes from The Walking Dead to The Punisher, they will all direct episodes of the upcoming Ms. Marvel Disney Plus series. So, like I said, I'm very excited about this news for several reasons, but Taylor, are you more optimistic, less optimistic, or indifferent after hearing about these director hirings?
I am way more optimistic, especially with the credits that these directors have, which are pretty good. And I've seen some comments online and going, this was a diversity hire. And I just have to point out, again, the credits to these directors here. This is made because these people are very good at what they do. And it fits very well. I can't wait to see this show. The Avengers game, to me, presented Kamala Khan as a very likable character. When I was told all the way to that point, she's a little annoying. I don't know if the comics present her in that way. Johnny, I know you're a big fan of her. But at least in the game, I saw her as like a very bright, up-and-coming superhero. Kind of like how Spider-Man was presented in the MCU at the early stages. So I can't wait to see how the MCU handles it.
Yeah, she sort of is like a modern day Peter Parker. You know, she leads that double life. She's a teenager going to high school, and she gets these incredible powers. She also is incredibly smart and very, very dorky, like Peter Parker is. So there is there's definitely similar characteristics there. What I really like about her comics is that she's also a Muslim Pakistani American. So it balances like super heroics with also dealing with her, super religious family and the expectations that they place on her to make good grades in school. So it has that really nice balance of all of these different things, and some like storylines and, things with her heritage that you never get to see in superhero comics ever. So it's really nice to get those interesting, diverse stories. And that's why I'm really excited about these directors. I haven't seen Bad Boys for Life. It apparently is pretty good.
It made a lot of money. It is
probably going to be the highest grossing movie of 2020. Not that that's saying a whole lot given the circumstances, but I have heard good things about it. Charmaine Obaid-Chinoy has done a bunch of documentaries that are based in Pakistan and has won 2 Oscars for them, and was the first Pakistani-born person to win an Oscar. So she deals with stories that affect her people, and so that's why I think that she's, even though I haven't seen her documentaries, I'm just assuming that she'll do this really well because, she won 2 Oscars for them. I'm assuming that she will be a really nice fit for those more personal elements to Kamala's story rather than the superhero stuff. So you can sort of see, you can sort of visualize what kind of episodes these directors will be in charge of, whereas the duo behind Bad Boys for Life will probably do with like the climactic, action-heavy episodes. Obaid-Chinoy will probably deal with like the quieter, more introspective character-building episodes. So I think that'll be really interesting. And then I guess Mira Manon could go either way. Nice to get some previous Marvel blood in there since she did do an episode of The Punisher. So that was just a nice little touch because I really liked the Netflix Punisher.
I can't imagine somebody from The Punisher working on Miss Marvel, though.
Right.
That's going to be interesting to see. No, yeah. But I can also tell from these hirings that Marvel cares a lot about making this show work. Because honestly, with shows like Miss Marvel, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, all these Disney Plus series, right now they're the future of Marvel. Don't have spoilers here for Endgame. I don't really know what to say, though, but it's the highest grossing movie ever. But there's no more Tony Stark. There's no more Steve Rogers. They've got to build this universe in new ways, and you have to make new characters that younger people are going to attach themselves to, as we did for the Tony Starks and the Steve Rogers and all these other characters. They have to do that again. And the best way to do that for them is through Disney Plus. So they've got to nail this character to me.
Yeah. And I haven't played the Marvel's Avengers game yet, so I don't know.
They did a spectacular job with it.
Okay, I don't know like how much of like, yeah, because I don't know how much of like her family life or religion is made in there, but from what I've gathered, from what I've heard about everyone saying, that they really nail the fangirliness of her, which is a huge part of her character. She's a massive
family dynamic was handled almost perfectly for me.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good to hear.
It was kind of like you're seeing the Avengers, and they've been established around for a while, but you're not seeing it through their eyes. You're seeing it through this fangirl's eyes. And honestly, you as a Avengers fan are somewhat in her shoes anyways. Because you're like, oh man, these cool people, it's the Hulk, it's Iron Man, and you're getting to fight alongside them.
Yeah, so it's like, someone like us, our dream come true.
Yes, that's like, what it's kind of presented as. And I think that's so cool to kind of see. And I hope that they can't do that for this show, but I hope they keep that kind of personality alive for that show.
Yeah, and they should. And just, like, the variety of the projects that these directors have worked on give me faith, because I'm just such a massive fan of the comics, give me faith that they'll be able to nail all of the different aspects that go into her story. Because she is like us. She is a big fangirl. She plays MMORPGs and idolizes Captain Marvel. And, you know, she writes fan fiction and stuff like that. And she's really funny and quirky. And there's just so many layers to her character and her story that I'm really excited to see them, you know, try to bring into live action.
I'm just expecting the Mirror Manon episodes to feature a lot of blood. Just because of The Walking Dead and The Punisher. I can't get over that. I'm expecting some good action scenes for those.
Oh, yeah. I am a little worried about her, just her abilities, how it'll look in live action, since it's a little...
Stretchy powers are difficult. About
it. Yeah, stretchy.
That's a good concern to have. It's very valid. Stretchy concerns can look pretty bad. I don't think Fantastic Four is ever getting it right.
No. But, I don't know. With the budget that, like, these shows are getting, or, like, The Mandalorian got, you know, maybe it won't
get to that
unsettling. Yes, we will. But let's move on to the next bit of Marvel TV news, which is that Disney confirmed that WandaVision is still scheduled to release in 2020 via a new Disney Plus promo. So this promo was about a minute and a half. They put it out on their Twitter. Unsurprisingly, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was not included in the promo as the show is currently shooting. Even though Falcon and the Winter Soldier originally had a 2020 release attached to it, you kind of have to think that show is not coming out this year. But regardless of that, are we surprised to see that WandaVision is still set to debut in 2020? I would say, yeah, I did not expect any Marvel Disney Plus shows to come out in 2020. Are you surprised at all, Taylor?
I'm very shocked, to be honest with you. I can't wait to see what a trip this show is going to be. I'm going in with no expectations. I know I've made fun of the name in the past, and I'll continue to make fun of the name because the name of the show is kind of bad and kind of hilarious. I'm really excited to see Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I got to be honest with you. This might be the shocker out of all the Disney Plus shows. Just because of how crazy they could be with it. I don't know what it's even going to be. All I know is Wanda is taking cues from TV shows in her own mind and some kind of mental breakdown. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's interesting as hell to me. I don't know where they're going to go with the show. It's, what, 8 episodes, I think? I think 8 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, but you touched on something that is why I'm so excited to see this, is that Scarlet Witch can alter reality, and we haven't really seen her do that since she was introduced in Age of Ultron, when she was, like, messing with all the different Avengers, like, what they were seeing in their minds, and just, like, you know, basically they were her playthings. But, you know, since then, you know, she's flown and done energy blasts and force fields and stuff like that, and all that's cool. But she hasn't really tapped into, you know, the witch-like, you know, really spookiness of her powers since Age of Ultron. So I'm really excited to see what this show brings with that.
Even in Endgame, you don't even see it. As good as that scene is, I don't even know who you are, you will. Which is an awesome scene, but it's still, like, what is she even doing to Thanos, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm 100% down for seeing... I always love seeing these characters go through, like, their own mental turmoil. Whether it be Breaking Bad or The Walking Dead or any TV show. The Punisher, we just got done talking about The Punisher, Miss Marvel, all that stuff. Punisher does a fantastic job of a character going through his own mental hell. So seeing WandaVision go through, like, her own mourning vision and not being able to kind of process it, I think that's going to be a fantastic addition to the show.
Yeah, I think so too. And we know that it's going to tie in with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So she's going to be playing around with things that she probably should not be. Who knows? Maybe she does. Because in the comics, she kind of like almost annihilated all of mutant kind. Just by speaking it into existence, because she's insanely powerful. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Yes, I'm surprised that this is still coming this year. And even in the promo, the minute and a half little video, it only shows it for like half a second. Or maybe there's like two clips. One of the two of them, and then there's one of just her in her classic costume. But
yeah, it's the same clips we've seen. So we haven't seen anything from it.
Yeah, except for that initial teaser, we haven't seen any new footage, and yet it's still supposed to come out sometime this year. And the year's getting pretty old. Let's move on to our last bit of TV news, which is that the rights to Luke Cage and Iron Fist will return to Marvel in October. So wanted to get into what our predictions on the future of these characters were, but if you forgot, in 2018, Netflix and Marvel started canceling all of their properties, beginning with Luke Cage and Iron Fist. I believe this, I had the date pulled up, October 12th, 2018. So next month, those rights to those characters will revert back to Marvel, which means they can put them in whatever they want. I would not expect to see them anytime soon. I think they would, the clause in the contract was to give the Netflix show, you know, 2 years of breathing room before they could do anything with them. But I think definitely at this point, Marvel has their hands full with already introducing a lot of other new characters like Ms. Marvel, like She-Hulk, like Moon Knight until, so I think they'll probably wait a little while.
Johnny, I forgot about
the on all the Defenders. You forgot about Moon Knight?
I forgot about Moon Knight. That's the sad part.
we didn't get any news on him today. We got news on the other two.
Yeah, they have a lot going on. I can't blame you for believing, like, yeah, it's going to be a while, because I'm kind of the same boat with you. But if they were to use these characters, you got to figure they're going to be in a show or a movie together in some kind of way. There's no longer going to be an Iron Fist show by itself or a Luke Cage show by itself. If they're coming back, they got to come back together. There's just not enough room.
I mean, yeah, because Luke Cage and Iron Fist are like best friends in the comics too, and they have had like their own heroes for hire sort of organization.
Yeah,
so
and the show
they're like constantly
a little bit.
Yeah, and they're a little bit. It like touched on it briefly. There's like you could see that that's probably the direction that they were going to go had they been allowed to continue. But they could easily just do a show about the two of them rather than, you know, do their own separate series. I think that would work. I'm also kind of torn because some of the aspects of Netflix I would be more than okay with them redoing for the MCU, but then other aspects like Charlie Cox's Daredevil, I would be very sad if, you know, to see that just completely be redone.
Yeah, and Michael Coulter, I believe he plays Luke Cage.
I thought he was
perfect as Luke Cage.
Yeah. He's great.
It would suck to lose him just alongside Charlie Cox's Daredevil or Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin, Kristen Ritter's Jessica Jones. Like you said, there's a lot of things I would love for them just to bring him back. You want to do a Heroes for Hire, bring the actors back, let's do it. But I kind of agree with you. You have Moon Knight, you have She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I know all these are probably limited series, but it's a lot in Marvel's plate right now. So if they were to do anything, you would think it would have to be a Heroes for Hire, both of them in the same show.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just appear in some kind of movie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they might just do these characters completely different from what we were expecting them to do. Like, I don't think we'll get, if we get Jessica Jones in the MCU again, I don't know if it'll be, you know, the sassy alcoholic PI, a version of her again, even though that's what she is in the comics now. She wasn't like that always.
But would Marvel do that is the question.
But would Marvel, but would Disney and Marvel do that?
Now, they did that with Iron Man in Iron Man 1 and 2, but they didn't go into that as much as they probably could have, because Tony Stark's alcoholism is a pretty big deal for his character, and they kind of brushed past it pretty quickly, so I'm not sure they would do that with Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Who knows? But they do have the rights back, so that is, you know, that's good news. Maybe we'll see them eventually. I just don't think it's going to be anytime soon. All right. You want to get to the lightning round, Taylor?
Let's get to the lightning round. What is
Let's get to the lightning round.
I forgot.
The lightning round.
Put a description.
The lightning round. The lightning round is something that we started doing last week, so there's lots and lots of news that we want to talk about that we might just not have time for. As you could see, this episode was a very Marvel-centric episode, but there was other news and stuff going on. Lightning round can also be good for news that doesn't warrant you know, a big discussion like all the other pieces do. So yeah, pretty much just a way for us to cover all the other small things. First up being that The Mandalorian Season 2 trailer is out. Taylor, what are your thoughts on it?
Oh my god, this looks amazing. That's it.
It looks pretty incredible,
that
right?
That looks yeah. amazing. That's it. Baby Yoda, that little thing at the end was absolutely hilarious. I'm in for end of October.
Yeah, it's that little thing where he sees his quote-unquote father basically turn his little doohickey on and he's just like, well, let me just close my crib real quick.
I'm going to take a nap then, real quick.
Yeah, back. You do your thing. I'll be here when you need me. Yeah, that was cute and funny. Yeah, I like that. No, it looks great. I'm very excited. I'm going to be watching it day one. And that's it. Next, trailer for Freaky has dropped. So we're a little late on this one, but the people behind Happy Death Day are coming out with a new movie. Think Freaky Friday with a horror twist. Here is the synopsis. So 17-year-old Millie Kessler, who's played by Catherine Newton of Blockers and HBO's Big Little Lies, is just trying to survive the bloodthirsty halls of Blissfield High and the cruelty of the popular crowd. But when she becomes the newest target of the Butcher, played by Vince Vaughn, her town's infamous serial killer, her senior year becomes the least of her worries. When the Butcher's mystical ancient dagger causes him and Millie to wake up in each other's bodies, Millie learns that she has just 24 hours to get her body back before the switch becomes permanent and she's trapped in the form of a middle-aged maniac forever. The only problem is she now looks like a towering psychopath who's the target of a citywide manhunt while the Butcher looks like her and has brought his appetite for carnage to homecoming. Taylor, what did you think of this trailer?
Is it weird to say this is my most anticipated movie of the year?
No, because I didn't watch this trailer when it came out. I just heard about it. I was like, oh, that's clever. Just a clever twist on Freaky Friday. And then I read this synopsis, and I was like, this sounds so stupid. And then I watched the trailer and just laughed the entire time. So no, it's not weird of you to say that this is your most anticipated movie, because it looks genuinely great.
This is such a perfect... This is how you bring an idea back that might have been like overused and put a spin on it.
Yeah, the body swap has been overused, yeah.
And just use it in a way that you go, oh my god, how's nobody done this before? You turn the kind of, you know, the high school girl, and she's the main character, and she's got to survive. It kind of, honestly, a little bit like Happy Death Day, in a way. Yeah. And you turn that into, no, she's the serial killer, kind of. And the serial killer is played by Vince Vaughn, who I also believe, didn't he play in a version of Psycho before? So he's done this kind of thing before. And he gets to play a teenage girl, which we've seen with somebody like Jack Black. That can be absolutely hilarious. So this is honestly probably my most anticipated movie of the year. Which I did not expect.
No, I didn't either. No, it'll depend a lot on his performance, if he's able to sell it without overdoing it. The trailer made him look like he isn't overdoing it, so I am excited for it.
Yeah, and I think it's very good. They make fun of stereotypes as well with the her friends, one's black and one is gay, and they make that joke of like, we would be dead in this scenario if this was a horror movie. That was such a good joke.
That was a good joke, yeah. Looks funny. Next up, Noah Hawley's Star Trek won't feature Kirk or Picard. So Hawley spoke with Variety about his on-hold Star Trek movie and said, quote, we're not doing Kirk and we're not doing Picard. It's a start from scratch that then allows us to do what we did with Fargo, where the first 3 hours you go, oh, it really has nothing to do with the movie, and then you find the money. So you reward the audience with a thing that they love, end quote. So I personally have no attachment to past Star Treks. I didn't watch the show growing up or any of the old movies. So if he wants to start from scratch, do a completely different story just within this universe, I am all for it. But what do you think, Taylor?
This is going to piss a lot of people off.
Oh, boy.
Just in period. No, not my opinion on it. My opinion on it is the same as yours. Like, the movie, the J.J. Abrams movies, I kind of liked. I liked the action spin on it. I understand if you were a Star Trek TV show fan and you thought it wasn't much like it and it didn't fit, which is a completely valid, but just for me, I saw them as very fun action movies that probably could have delved more into the Star Trek lore and all that stuff, but I can kind of forgive it because the action was good. But seeing that Kirk and Picard won't be used, I can already just see in my brain of people just being pissed off at Noah Hawley.
Well, I guess they'll just have to deal with it. All right, moving on. Next piece and last piece is that DC Universe is no more. It will become a comics-only platform, and all original programming is moving to HBO Max. So all original programming, just like Teen Titans, Doom Patrol, Harley Quinn, the animated series, which also alongside this announcement got renewed for a third season. So that's good news because that show's great. They are all heading exclusively to HBO Max. DC Universe will become DC Universe Infinite, which is a comics-only platform. Now, members of DC Universe Infinite will be able to get brand new titles 6 months after their on sale date, and DC Universe previously was a year. You'll also get access to digital first titles. You'll get earlier access to them. There'll also be DC Universe Infinite Originals, which will just be, you know, exclusive content to the platform. They also have fan community events planned throughout 2021, but they didn't really go into specifics about that, probably because, you know, COVID-19 is still a thing. So, Taylor, you're a big DC fan. Do you think this is the right call?
I think it is. Like, we've been kind of pounding the table for DC Universe to move on to HBO Max for a while. So, and especially with, you know, the Snyder Cut and... You, like you said, Harley Quinn got moved, and what, Doom Patrol got moved to Star, Stargirl went to CW. So, with all that, you're starting to see, like, okay, this thing's on its last legs. And the unfortunateness of all those people who lost their jobs over the past few months at DC, which hopefully, they haven't already, hopefully they get back on their feet very soon. I know COVID-19, this is a very bad time to lose your job, so hopefully everybody's been able to land on their feet. But, yeah, this is just the right call to me, for at least the original programming, because it just wasn't working on DC Universe.
No, it wasn't. I don't think that DC has enough content to warrant an entire streaming service, or at least enough variety in their content. Like, yeah, you go to DC to watch a bunch of superhero stuff, but, you know, like other streaming platforms, you know, that charge, you know, roughly the same amount. Like you say, Netflix has action stuff, has comedies, drama, romance, documentaries, you know, whatever you want to find. So they sort of justify... I mean, I guess that's a really bad comparison because Netflix was like the first streaming
Disney
service.
Disney Plus.
But you get what I'm saying.
Disney Plus. Yeah. Disney Plus has all their Marvel content, but if it was just Marvel, I don't think it would be as successful. And that's why Star Wars and you have other animated content. And you have, don't they have National Geographic too or something like
they
that?
They do have, yep, they've got National Geographic.
They've got a bunch of stuff on there. Not all of it's great, mind you, but they have a bunch of stuff on there that's varied.
Yeah,
from,
there's something for everyone. Yeah.
And so DC is just like, it's been comics, Titans, and all these other shows. And sometimes, even though I'm a big DC fan, I'm just tired of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, this new rebranded service will launch in January 2021. All DC Universe members, their accounts will just roll over to the new platform whenever that launches next year. But if you are into reading comics, and they've got, I think it said like over 24,000 titles because it spans like 8 decades. So yeah, if you want to read DC Comics and you're not the type of person that has to buy physical comics and can wait the 6 month period after the on sale dates to get access to these books, and then yeah, this service will definitely be for you. But that's it. Let's move on towards the end of the show with what we are working on and where people can find us. So Taylor, why don't you go ahead?
I am working on some stuff at the Nerd Stash and over at ModernWarZone.com. Should check both of those sites out. They're fantastic. Check out our latest episode of the Nerd Stash show, because again, that was one of my favorite episodes for sure. The Sony recap. And you can follow me at RamboFactor on Twitter. I have like 40 followers. I would love a lot more.
Nice. As for myself, yes, please go check out the latest episode of the Nerd Stash Show. We had a lot of fun recording it. Wednesday, the 23rd, I will have a new Watch Mojo video up. It's the top 20 movies that exceeded expectations. And you can find me on Twitter at @avatar_Johnny. But that wraps up another episode of Nerds Talk Movies. Thank you, Taylor, for joining me. And thank you all so much for listening. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Nerdstash Show. You can join our Discord at the Nerdstash Community. Please subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform of your choice. Also, check out the website, thenerdstash.com, because there's a lot of really great writers over there. And we would appreciate that. But with all that being said, everyone, take care.